Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tune in to SDPB TV 1 tonight, 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain, for South Dakota Focus with Stephanie Rissler. If you missed that live broadcast, you can find the show archives, including the recent program on chronic wasting disease. Find that online at sdpb.org/watch. Host Stephanie Rissler joins us now from the SDPB studios in Vermilion with a recap of that show. Hey, Stephanie, welcome back.
Thanks, Lori. It's good to be here.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what chronic wasting disease is. Why was it a topic that you chose for South Dakota Focus?
You know, it's been detected in our state, and our leaders through GFMP and our wildlife leaders are just trying to educate landowners and hunters as to what it is. There's still a lot of research out there, but what we do know is it's a ruthless disease. It impacts deer and elk herds and moose, and it's spread from animal to animal. It is a brain disease, and unfortunately, once an animal has it, it is fatal. They will die from it. There were a lot of questions last week, a lot of questions about, can different animals get it, such as antelope or cattle, sheep, goats, pets? And what we do know is it spread from animal to animal, but not species to species. So no, an antelope or your livestock, it cannot get it. And of course, people were wondering, well, if I harvest a deer or an elk and it has chronic wasting disease and we consume it, you know, what will it do to a human? And right now, there's no evidence that it will do anything. But what Game Fish and Parks has said is, if you know that chronic wasting disease has been found in a particular area and you harvest a deer from there, have it tested. Yeah. And if your animal does have it, if your deer or elk does have it, there are some steps you can go through to get an additional tag if you want to continue hunting. But, you know, there's a lot of research yet to do, and I think our leaders are just trying to educate our state as to what we know today with chronic wasting disease.
Tell us a little bit about who your guests were and then something about what the background of this is. How are they sort of documenting it and tracking it in the state?
Right. We had our assistant state veterinarian on, Mendel Miller. He also sits on the Animal Industry Board. And then we had some folks from the Game Fish and Parks Department. Steve Griffin, he's a big game biologist. And we had Josh Delger. He's a wildlife resource specialist. And he focuses mainly on the southeast part of our state. But Chad Switzer was with us, and he is our wildlife program administrator, and he really is overseeing chronic wasting disease. He is the lead for what's going on. And he did. He talked about the background regarding the documentation of CWD and the threat that it imposes on deer and elk here in South Dakota.
CWD was first documented within deer in a captive mule deer facility in Colorado back in 1967. Okay, we don't exactly know how long chronic wasting disease has been around in the environment, if it's been 50, 100 years, couple hundred years, but at that time was when the scientific community first identified it as a TSE disease within deer. And the first documentation of CWD in South Dakota was back in 1997, where it was found within some captive elk herds in a few counties within the state. And then it wasn't until 2001 was when we first documented it in our wild, free-roaming deer in South Dakota.
Okay. What does all of this mean for the future of wildlife populations in our state?
We're not here saying tonight that the sky is falling on our deer and elk populations, because it's currently not at this time, nor can we prove that. But we can do a better job, I think, of informing our public as to some of our long-term concerns regarding chronic wasting disease, and try to promote some better, implementing some preventative measures that, okay, that we can use on our own through best management practices, or potentially with some new regulations coming down from our department working with our commission. That's yet to be said, but that's kind of where we're at with CWD and the concerns.
Okay. What is the biggest threat that CWD poses to our South Dakota wildlife?
Biggest threat, I think, again, we talked about earlier, not just thinking about CWD, looking 5 to 10 years down the road, but, you know, looking at some of the research results from some other states, and we've got states communicating with each other, talking about combining efforts for research and monitoring and modeling this stuff through the future, is looking long-term, and does the prevalence rate of CWD in South Dakota in our deer and elk at some point in time in the future reach a threshold where it has a negative impact on our population growth and how well these populations can sustain themselves just trying to battle chronic wasting disease. It's a disease. It's been here. We don't know for how long. It was first detected, identified in the late 60s. Maybe it's been around quite a while, but it's being detected at a rapid growth across a lot of states and provinces and in both wild and captive deer and elk. And I'm hoping we can do things to become a little bit more proactive in how we transport potential infected carcasses, how we dispose of them, make sure they're disposed of properly, things in regards to artificial feeding, of putting wildlife into concentrated areas, just to try to minimize those things that could potentially cause unnatural spread.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. Stephanie Ristler with South Dakota Focus is in our SDPB Vermilion studios, and we're reviewing some of the conversation on last week's Focus about chronic wasting disease. You can watch the full program online at sdpb.org/watch. And you heard some of those preventive measures right there in that conversation, Stephanie, about how important it is for people to pay attention. There are things that can be done by South Dakotans.
Absolutely. And if you do go to the GFMP website, there is an interactive map. So you can take a look at where CWD has been detected, where it's been tested, areas that have not seen it yet. So there are things that we can all do if we want to learn more about where it's at, what to do, and maybe, where to find some testing kits or how to test your deer or elk if you've harvested something in an area where it's detected. Last week, Josh Delger, as I mentioned, he is our state's wildlife resource specialist. He talked in more detail about the disease as it spreads across the country, but also he spoke in great detail about it going from animal to animal.
We're seeing it, moving across the landscape, all across North America. And it's not everywhere yet, but it's in 26 states and 4 provinces in North America, either in wild or captive herds. And like I say, it keeps on kind of spreading as it goes. And we're seeing it pop up in new places all the time. If not on a monthly basis, almost a weekly basis, we're seeing reports in new areas. And so that's pretty alarming for us. And that definitely concerns us. But there's ways in which CWD moves across the landscape naturally, and we can't stop it in all cases. But there's definitely a lot of things that we can do to be aware of these things, and we can take an active effort and slow the spread of CWD. For hunters, it's the alarming part is, and once that happens, that basically telling you, to be able to hunt that population, you don't really have that option anymore because that population is going down.
How is it transmitted?
It does pass from animal to animal a lot more easier than some of these other diseases. And so that's definitely very concerning to us. So not only can it pass from animal to animal through saliva and other bodily fluids, but it can be transmitted from the soil to an animal. They can pick it up that way. It can be transmitted from a mother to its offspring. And then also they can pick it up from plant materials that may have been exposed to CWD or any other surface that was exposed to CWD. One of the biggest concerns we have with CWD is how easy it is to be transmitted from animal to animal. There's just a lot of different pathways that they can get it, and the fact that it just persists in the environment for so long. Nobody knows exactly how long it'll last in the environment, and so there's all that confounds to make this a pretty difficult disease to deal with.
Okay. The physical signs that a deer and elk might have it.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely, once it gets through that incubation period, they can live for a long time without showing signs. But when a deer or elk gets to that clinical stage, you're going to see that animal be emaciated or looking abnormally thin. They're going to exhibit a lack of coordination. Have excessive thirst, excessive salivation. But, the other thing that complicates that is a lot of other diseases show a lot of the same symptoms. And so we can't really look at a sick animal and say it's got CWD. It could be a number of any other things. So we certainly appreciate and want people to report dead, sick animals, things like that, and we'll do our best to get those to the lab and tested.
And Stephanie, as you mentioned, lots of people had questions about this. Definitely a topic that spurred the interest of many South Dakotans. Tell us a little bit about how you incorporate those questions on the air, because you're able to really have people's voices heard on South Dakota Focus.
Absolutely. We take questions live as the show's happening. We ask that people either email those questions in or they can text them in, and we are monitoring throughout the whole hour. I'm able to access questions as they come in real time to me. We've got a staff, our team in the back. They're also keeping track of questions. You know, a lot of times some of the questions that viewers will send in, they're on my list, but there are many times those questions come in that are questions that I did not think about. Maybe the guests had not heard some of these questions. So it's an amazing interaction with our viewers. And every week I appreciate the input that we get from folks. Sometimes it's just a comment to say, thank you for doing this topic. I had no idea. It's a great part of the program.
All right. Tell us about tonight's broadcast.
Tonight, we are going to take a closer look at the 2019 tourism season. Secretary Jim Hagan of the South Dakota Department of Tourism will be on tonight. He is always so fun and brings some great information. We'll have representatives from the southeast part of our state. We've got Glacial Lakes and Prairies joining us, as well as South Dakota Missouri River Tourism. We're going to talk about some of the new campaigns that we might all see, whether they're trying to attract those of us who live here to do new and more exciting, fun things, as well as out-of-state visitors. Last year, we had 14.1 million visitors come to our state. The money that they brought in was up 2.5% from the year before. It is our state's number two industry. And the Department of Tourism and these organizations are doing such great work to bring people in and entertain them and really highlight how great South Dakota is. It's going to be a fun conversation.
Well, in hour two of In the Moment, we'll do a little preview of the screening of SDPB's new documentary, Vanished Towns. So when you talk about traveling the state, perhaps no one knows some of those hidden locations better than you right now, as you spent so many times with your feet in the field hearing places that I had not heard of, because they are no more.
That is true. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we will talk about tonight, visitors are looking for unique experiences, and one of those are rural destinations. Since we've started doing Vanished Towns, we have had so many people reach out to us asking if they can go to these locations, can they see them? And then people go out, and if it's on a public place and on the road where they can go, we are getting folks taking pictures of them being in Spokane, which is vanished. People have gone to Esmond, which is in Kingsbury County, and they are traveling our state. They're learning some history. They're getting their own little in-state getaway. It's been fascinating. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, Stephanie Rissler, I defy you to not smile when Jim Hagan is talking about South Dakota, because he's infectious in his enthusiasm for the state.
Yes, we
appreciate your time. Have a great show tonight. We'll tune
Thank
in.
You.
And again, South Dakota Focus tonight on SDPB TV 1, 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain. You can watch archives of the program, sdpb.org/watch.